Everybody, welcome to the Mando Files. I'm Jacob.
I'm Elizabeth.
That's Ryan.
And my friend Anisha.
And I'm Ryan.
So this is our second official episode, and we'll be talking about episode one of The Mandalorian, and also episode two. They both came out this week. Probably major spoilers, so if you don't want to know anything about The Mandalorian, you should just go to the end of this podcast, and you probably shouldn't listen to it at all.
Yeah, at all. Period.
Go listen to our pre-Mandalorian podcast, where we gave our awesome theories, and Johnny had the best one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He definitely did. And then come back to this podcast so you can hear our lovely voices.
So basically, we'll just start off talking about episode one, and I guess I will ask Elizabeth, what was your impressions of the first episode?
I loved it from the get-go. I have a bunch of notes on it. So we can jump into those if you want.
No, but just impressions.
I really thought it was good. Like, it was more than what I expected. So I was really happy. But, yeah.
What did you think, Ryan?
That it was the best thing I've seen since
Return of the Jedi. Really?
Really?
Discounting all the animated shows.
Oh,
that's interesting.
That is.
My view is probably a little more controversial. I loved it. It was really good. I just felt some parts were just kind of like meh. But it definitely set up the rest of the season. Like, it's gonna like blow your face away, I'm sure, at the end of this season. Or there's gonna be a giant cliffhanger.
Yeah, I hope there's not a cliffhanger. But like,
oh, I'm sure there's a cliffhanger.
Well, basically, there's already been two, right? I mean, both of the episodes kind of end like, I mean, they're not giant cliffhangers, but
full-on spoiler alert, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
But more along the lines of like, what's he gonna do?
Stop listening now, if you haven't watched it. Okay.
He's like breaking. Right. Is he talking? Oh, I said breaking.
Try that again.
Hello.
All right, you're good.
Y'all both seen both episodes, right?
Yeah.
So the Force is a part of the series,
yeah,
which makes it like, I mean, elevates it to a whole nother level. Am I wrong?
No, see, that's kind of what my disappointment's too strong of a word. That's kind of where my disagreement is, I guess. because I was thinking, you know, they were going to stay away from that. And then, bam, the very first episode, it's like in your face. Here's the Force.
Yeah,
like,
I was really hoping with you, Jacob, that they would stay away from the Force and
kind of like, anything relating to the other. Yeah.
No, yeah, anything like that.
Well, I agree with you both. I was excited. I was like, I totally called it. I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. And
you
I was
called
so
Baby
excited.
Yoda?
No, not that. That shocked the crap out of me, the baby. And then I was like, oh, he's going to have the Force. And then I was just excited.
Yeah, when I saw him, yes, I thought the same thing. I was well, the Force is obviously going to be involved.
Well, everybody has the Force.
But
it's what binds us together.
My question is this like a reincarnated Yoda?
No.
Because we don't know a whole lot about his species.
We don't know anything about his species other than they live to be really freaking old.
They live to be really old.
And we've only ever seen two of them. And they were both on the Jedi Council.
Yeah. And this makes the third. Like, we know nothing. So, like, to me, I like it. I like that they went down this road. Because to me, it's unknown. And not necessarily the Force, but like Yoda and baby, whatever.
Can we please just get a baby instead of baby shark? Can we get a baby Yoda da 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 baby? I don't know.
Baby Yoda da 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 da.
Now, so don't get me wrong. Like, I love it. I love where it's going. I was just expecting it to stay away from the Force.
You have the technology to do that. So do it.
Don't stop. I don't know. I freaking love it. That's just me.
Alright, let's how did you feel about how the show opened? Like the scene in the cantina and...
Oh, I thought you were going to say the helmets. I was like, oh my God, I love
the helmets.
The helmets
were awesome.
That was so cool. Well,
just the music in the opening.
Yeah, I loved that.
It
was like, ooh.
To me, it felt kind of like Django.
Yeah.
Like Django Unchained. But I really liked it. Like, it throws in that Western vibe, but it's also like, okay, we're really in Star Wars, so dial it back a little bit.
Yeah,
the Western thing really, like, grabbed me. I don't know about y'all, but...
I loved it.
I like
Westerns, so...
Well, yeah. I was gonna say, too, like, one of my favorite things about the first episode was what do they call it? The comic fair or whatever it's called. The thing that Marvel does, but they did it with Star Wars with all the characters.
Oh, yeah.
Like in different colors. Yeah, like it's before every Star Wars thing now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was really cool. I was like, oh, that was awesome.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know, it's got like different hologram faces up there. I think it starts with like Vader and then it goes to 3PO and R2.
The helmet thing. That's what
The helmets. I thought you meant the Mando helmets. No. Those are freaking awesome too.
But the very black one is the Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was awesome.
That was so cool. That was like, I was just like amazed. I was like, oh my God. But I was like, in the previous podcast up to the new one, this one, I wasn't that excited for it because I feel like The Mandalorian, I don't know, not now, but I felt like it was just going to fail and people were just not going to give it a chance.
Like
and
Solo?
So, yeah, like, and so I just wasn't getting my hopes up until I saw the first episode and then I watched it and I was laying in bed and I was just like, oh my God, this was amazing. And I watched it two more times after that and made notes and stuff. But I was just like, oh my God. And then I forgot the second one came out today, and so I was so busy today, like, I didn't get a chance to watch it at nap time, and so... Yeah.
Jacob, is why she should watch, what is it?
Firefly.
Don't say Firefly.
Is that what the series is called? It's two different things.
Firefly is the series and Serenity is the movie.
Okay. Yes. Watch Firefly. Elizabeth, please.
I still haven't done it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll watch Firefly.
She'll get it. All right, let's go to your... how are your notes set up? Is it just in the timeline of the show?
No, it was in my timeline of my head.
No. Can you? Would you be able to go through it in the timeline of the show?
Yeah.
Okay, so we already kind of talked about the opening. Like, the whole bar fight, I was watching it, and I have the subtitles on, and the guys that are, like, beating up the bluefish dude, it says that they're speaking in Hutnese.
Hutnese.
And I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
But the coolest part was when, and we kind of already seen it, so we kind of knew what was going to happen, when he drags the guy back in and then kills him with the door.
I didn't realize he died.
He got chopped in half.
I didn't realize that until the second time I watched it. I was like, oh, crap.
Yeah. I was like, God dang, he's ruthless.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, okay, so we kind of got like this guy that really doesn't give any kind of... Can we cuss?
No.
Okay. He really doesn't care a whole lot about anything other than... I mean, later we find out about his Mandalorian pieces to his suit. But he doesn't really care. And so when he was just... He's just... Well, that's kind of jumping ahead, but in the second episode, with the jaw was, I was like, me and Denisha were watching it, we were like, oh my God, oh my God.
I would have shot them too. They stole all his crap.
I didn't see that at first, because I was like, why is he just shooting them? Oh my God, that's so mean. What? And then I was like, oh, they're taking apart his, I didn't put two and two together, I don't know. But
yeah, wasn't it you, Jacob? That said, no, you said the Ewoks were evil.
Right? Oh, well, they're like kind of savage. They can be savage. They have sharp teeth.
They're savage. They eat people.
Now we also know that the Jawas are pretty savage too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. They didn't care either. They were just like, bam, bam. But I forgot the guy's name. But he's like, I'm going to go down and, what did he say? I'm just going to evacuate my...
Oh, yeah.
Whatever he was, I was cracking up.
Yeah. I thought that guy was a little annoying, but that led to one of, like, my favorite shots so far when he's... discovering his bounties and that he's frozen them in carbonite, and then he's like, I guess I won't make life day this year or something like that, and like the camera doesn't even really turn to look behind him, it just like focuses in on the Mandalorian and he's standing there. I was like, oh my God, I love that shot.
Yeah, that cracked me up. I was just,
and he's
like
I guess not.
I guess not. That was pretty funny.
The first episode made
he's breaking
up. All I know, I think that's the first time like Life Day has been mentioned.
Yeah, I think you're
in
right.
Canon style universe.
Yeah,
I don't know about the comic books, but as far as the films, right, that's the first time Life Day has been canon.
I don't know what Life Day is, so...
Didn't you have the holiday special with us?
Kind of.
No, she was throwing a party.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I wasn't throwing a party.
Yes, you were, because you were like, all my friends are here, and then Logan was like, you're being rude, and then you hung up on us, and then you quit.
That was the second time you quit.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay. Back to the Mandalorian. So yeah, I thought that was my favorite shot of the first episode, for sure. Probably my favorite shot of both episodes so far. But they have had some really good, like, him walking across landscapes and with the sun setting and all this stuff. Him and Baby Yoda.
Oh, that's why he's not coming.
I like... My favorite was Baby Yoda. Because I don't like calling it Baby Yoda. But anyway, my favorite was the baby because it's so dang cute. And I was just like, oh my God, oh my God. And then, but my favorite part, the funniest part to me was when he freaking drops them off at the ship and he's like, stay off the ice and, or whatever. And the guy, the blue guy's like, what does he mean, stay off the ice? Like, stay off the ice, like, oh my God. And he's like watching him drive away and he gets freaking eaten by the thing under the ice. I was laughing so hard because, like, I mean, that's a cameo for that. I forget his name, but I was cracking up because you just didn't really expect it. And then he starts freaking out. He's like, oh my God, oh my God. And he's like freaking out. And then, you know, he saves him. But that was the freaking funniest part in the whole, well, not the whole one, but it was pretty funny.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of like, you could see it coming because they focused on the blue guy watching him leave.
Yeah.
And then it was like, well, something's about to happen.
Yeah. It was just, I cracked up.
Yeah.
Stay off the ice.
So, what did you think about, like, the whole Bounty Hunters Guild thing? Like, that whole scene?
Me?
Anybody. I thought it was interesting, like, he tried to pay him in Imperial credits, you know, because the Empire's gone. And he's like, they'll still spin.
That low-key kind of confused me a little bit. Like, he said they'll still spend or whatever, but, like, does he just not want anything to do with the Empire?
Because see, that's what,
of something that maybe happened to him?
Well, I think it's kind of like Han. He's, like, trying to just avoid any Imperial. But then we find out he's pretty much taking a job for the Empire. Like, he doesn't know that for sure, but you have an officer and then 4 stormtroopers.
Yeah. And then
I don't
scientist guy.
Well, that's who the officer is. I don't know who the other guy is. He wasn't dressed in Empire attire.
I feel like they want to experiment on the baby.
Oh, for sure. I 100% think that somehow Baby Yoda has something to do with Palpatine.
Really?
Yes, I 100% think that because I don't know if you remember when we recorded last week or the week before, Logan was talking about supposedly there's a major spoiler for the new film in The Mandalorian.
Oh.
And what else would it be than this Baby Yoda? Because obviously he's strong, has a strong connection to the Force, you know. And if you notice, we're skipping ahead a little bit, but in episode two,
spoiler for episode two,
he, after the Mandalorian fights the Transdotians, he is trying to heal himself, and Baby Yoda goes up to him and starts reaching for him, which he doesn't know why, but it looks like he's gonna try to heal his wounds.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, I mean, that's the only thing right now I can think of, but
that brings up a good point for me, and this is skipping ahead, but it's the same as what you're talking about. I was confused when he was like, the guy, I forget the guy's name, the guy that's like, I've spoken, when he says, you know, was the baby hurt? And then he's like, you know, no, I don't think so. And then he's like,
physically.
Yeah. And then he was like, what happened? And he was like, I don't know. Yeah. And like, do they not know about the Force? Because this is just after the Empire, right? But like, how long after?
Yeah, but you got to think, like, the whole galaxy doesn't know. They don't even know that Luke fought Darth Vader. Like, you know what I mean?
But they should know about, like, Jedi and...
But they don't, because even by episode 4, from episode 3, they've forgotten all about it.
How, though?
Because they've moved on. Like, the Empire has done, like...
Even Jabba laughed at the fact that Luke was a Jedi.
Yeah, Jabba knows about Jedi because he's seen, but he also knows that the Empire has...
Like, ha ha ha, like, this is an ancient
type of... the Jedi are no more because the Empire, that was their whole goal from the moment Vader starts, or goes to kill Obi-Wan, or whatever, when they fight, till now. Vader's been seeking out and destroying the remnants of the Jedi. So the Empire has been just wiping away all of that.
Yeah, but like, when
also, you never see Emperor Palpatine. The public, the galaxy, never sees Emperor Palpatine. So there's no... It just goes away over time. Because if you remember in the Millennium Falcon, me and Kara just talked about this, Han Solo... is staring at a Jedi Knight, and he's saying hokey religions and ancient weapons are no match for a blaster. Like, he doesn't believe in all one powerful force. He believes more in luck. So, and Han was more than likely, I mean, he's probably born right after, or he might have been born during episode 3 sometime, you know, as a baby, though. So, and then you think about flash forward from the end of Return of the Jedi to in the Millennium Falcon, and are talking to Han. They ask him if it's true, and Han says, it's true, all of it. So the times have got, like, they're just legends. They're just myths.
Like,
so
they just talk about, like, it as if...
It's like ghost stories or whatever. Yeah,
as if it's like a ghost story. Okay.
I mean, I hate to, like, come down on any kind of religion, but it's just like the Bible. I mean, that's basically the way it is.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I get it, but, like, I was just wondering, like, how far, like, because this guy clearly says in episode 1, like, this is right after the Empire has fallen.
Like, 4 years
surely
after.
Surely they have a, like, known reason why the Empire fell. Like, what do they think happened?
The only thing they know is the Rebel Alliance did it. It's not... the people in the Rebel Alliance may not even know about Emperor Palpatine, you know what I mean?
Like, they just don't know what really happened.
It's, right.
It's kind of just like history now. All you know is what was written and what has been saved.
Yeah.
It's crazy because, like, it's hard for me to believe that because, I mean, I get it.
Well, you get to see,
like,
everything.
I see everything, so I'm like, okay, yeah. How do they not know? Because I know. Like,
so
okay.
think about that, too. Like, Han's never seen the Emperor. Leia's never seen the Emperor. Who else? Chewie? None of them, and they've been right there in the thick of it the whole time.
That's a good
the only one. Person that's ever really seen the Emperor that we know for sure is Obi-Wan, Yoda, and Luke.
No, Obi-Wan died.
No, oh. But he saw him before he...
Yeah. I get it. And, like, all the people... So what did all the people think happened to him, the Emperor... when he, like, turned? Because he was, like, a senator, right?
Well, he says in episode 3 that the Jedi attacked him, and through the fight, this is what happened to me.
Oh.
Yeah.
I need to
And when you, like, there are perspectives from good people that put the Empire in a good, they have perspective of the Empire being good. Obviously, if they're torturing you or whatever, like you see in Rebels, they see the evil in the Empire. But for some people, they don't see them as bad.
Right.
They just see them as the governing force, you know? So it's just, it's really about perspective.
Yeah. And
the knowledge that you have.
I'm playing, well, I finished it actually. But the game that I'm playing, what's it? The Force Unleashed?
Yeah.
I finish it, but he starts out just doing anything and everything that Vader tells him to do. Basically, until he meets the girl.
Well, that's what a Sith apprentice does, though. I mean.
Well, I know, but she is all about it, too. Like, this is my life. This is. She even says, like, I'm dropping everything I know to be with you and, you know, whatever. And she's leaving behind her life to become basically a rebel and help him, you know, defeat, well, try to defeat, I guess, Vader. But, like, she thought she was always right. She thought she, like, so I get it, like, she had to change her
perspective. Yeah. She had to, like, get a different perspective.
Yeah, or else she had to die.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, in her eyes, she was doing the right thing. And in the Rebels' eyes, they're doing the right thing, which they are doing the right thing. But I get it. Anyway, back to Mandalorian.
Yeah, I was going to say, we got way off track there.
Sorry, so I just got confused.
So... I'm not sure where we left. Oh yeah, what did y'all think about him trying to break in the monster or whatever? I forgot what they were called. Did y'all like that scene?
Break the monster?
Yeah, so he could ride it.
Oh.
Like he's breaking a horse.
That was
That I did like. I didn't like the second episode where he fought the monster.
Oh, I like that.
I liked that too. I thought it was more silly. Like maybe if kids were watching it, it would be funny to them that he got bucked off or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, so I think it was more for like that kind of thing. But I mean, I kind of giggled, and then I giggled when he was like something about referring to it as a him. And then he goes, no, this is a girl, or this is a female. They ate all the males or something. I was just cracking up.
Yeah, they eat them after mating. Yeah. I thought it was funny when he bucks them off or whatever. What you're saying, the Mandalorian says, he probably remembers when I tried to roast him or something like that. Yeah. And then he says, well, he's a she, you know, whatever. Yeah, I thought that scene, when I first saw it, I was just like, okay, this just feels a little unnecessary. It's kind of showing you, I guess, the, not necessarily the softer side, but his adaptive side to the situation. Because he was going at it like, okay, well, I'm going to jump on you and tame you. And then all of a sudden, he's kind of taming him like Ezra did.
Adaptive, I think it was his non-like, he doesn't really care.
Well,
I don't know how to put it.
I read Spencer's blog. And, you know, he's all about the Mandalorian being Ezra Bridger, whatever.
He's completely wrong.
He's completely wrong. He tries to be right. He tries to force it. But, and I can kind of see a little bit, but...
Not after the second episode. There's no way he's Ezra.
He was talking about how he uses the Force, I guess, to like calm the thing to jump on it or whatever. But he, and that Ezra Bridger does that. But if to me, if it was Ezra Bridger, he would be way way adapted to the Force by now to where he could just calm that animal like that. And so I don't think it's him. But he does have a point, like, not that it's Ezra, but when he does kind of go up to it slowly and try to calm it down and then he mounts it, like, he might maybe be using a little bit of the Force there. Like, not maybe not the Force, like Yoda, but or Baby Yoda, but maybe he was really, like, in touch with it at that moment.
I mean, if you watch people break horses, they don't just go and, like, aggressively break the horse. They go at it calmly.
Oh, I've never watched anybody do that.
But, you know, talking about that stupid scene, we skipped over a really important scene. And that was him getting his pauldron from the Mando Guild.
Yeah.
Or clan. I forgot what if they called it a guild or a clan. I'm sure it's a clan. Guild. That was probably my favorite scene in the whole first episode. I thought that was really cool. I didn't
really know what was going on. Until I kept watching it. And I was like, oh! Because what's so special about this little brick? Like, I didn't know.
Yeah, I didn't know that either, but I just think it was cool that we find out that he's not actually, like, Mandalorian blood.
Yeah, I feel like none of them are.
Well, you mean none of the people that are alive now?
Like, none of the people that were in there.
Yeah.
I don't know, though.
Maybe the armorer. I don't know if they mentioned her name.
Maybe. Because she kind of... I mean, maybe her, yeah, because she definitely knew what she was doing.
Yeah.
But that part was pretty cool. I didn't really know what was going on, though.
Well, I kept
being like, what is happening?
See, that's what... Before I saw the second episode, I was thinking maybe that's kind of what we're going to get this first season, is him completing his armor. But I don't know if that's... I mean, they could still go that way, but...
So what's so special about that armor?
It's like Mando steel. It's Mandalorian. Yeah.
It's like the real Mandalorian armor.
Yeah. Not, I forgot, like, what it's called.
Together.
It starts with a B.
Yeah, okay. Because I was kind of confused. Oh. But then I was like, when IG-11 shot him, it didn't scratch it or anything. So I was like, oh, so it can't get scratched and nothing can really happen to it, I guess.
Yeah.
But anyway.
What did you think about that scene, Ryan?
Well, apparently my internet is going in and out, so.
Oh. Yeah, I haven't heard you.
Yeah. I really don't think I'm wondering if the idea, what is it, ID 11?
IG
11.
IG 11. Yeah. I don't think he's done with, and we're gonna see like a team up of the him, ID 11. And a chick, and maybe somebody else.
Yeah, Baby Yoda.
Well, he kind of tried. He kind of tried to recruit Nick Nolte's character.
Yeah.
In the second episode.
Well, there's a picture floating around online where it's him, IG-11,
the girl,
some kind of chick.
I feel like it's her, and I feel like that's the girl that puts together his armor.
Do you think? I thought that at first, but yeah, she wasn't mentioned in the credits.
At the end of episode two, I was like, I wonder if this is the girl that's in the, because there's a promo with four people.
But they have the same armor on.
Well, I can't. No, because IG-11 doesn't have armor.
Not him. The girl in the pictures that's floating around that you're talking about, and the girl that puts together his armor at the smithing station or whatever.
Yeah. I'm wondering if that's... I gotta go back and look at the picture, but...
That's his boo. I don't know.
Pull up the picture and send it to us.
Okay.
It's Nick Nolte plays. Was it Quill?
Surely
they didn't name him Quill. It's Quill, however you say that.
It was interesting because of how short he was.
He's supposed to be a Ugnaught. Like the little guys that freeze Han from Cloud City. That's like what his species is supposed to be.
He definitely walked around on his knees for a while. That,
I thought he did a really good job. I liked him. He's like, I have spoken.
I have spoken. I used that with my kids today.
That's how I'm going to end the podcast.
I told the kids to clean up, and they're like, we don't want to. And I was like, I have spoken. They just stared at me. They were like, what?
Okay, so the armor is not... what's her name? Carano.
Oh.
The armor is played by Emily Swallow. Or Swallow.
Is that a girl from freaking Twilight?
I don't know.
I think it is. No, wait. Oh, if it starts a bunch of noise, I'm sorry. Okay. My bad. Anyway.
So what did y'all think about the, for some reason, that scene at the end when IG-11 shows up, it just reminded me of the Three Amigos. Like the ending of the Three Amigos.
Yeah, that's...
I was like, this is just like that almost. I thought it was awesome because he was like, droids. Like they're always messing it up. But it was cool that...
When he proposed, like, scenarios, the droid's, like, acceptable.
Yeah. I love that.
Destroy. What did he say?
Self-destruct. Begin self-destruct sequence. He's like, what? No! Wait, self-destruct. He did it, like, three different times.
I know, that was funny. So... Okay, I just realized something. Carl Weathers, he's in Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, that's, what's his name? Is it Chubbs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Chubbs.
I kept being like, is this the guy from Reading Rainbow?
No, that's Star Trek.
I was like, what? My bad.
Karga is his name. I liked the way it ended. I thought it was kind of cool, like when he jumps on the turret and spins it around and kills everybody. I thought that was kind of like slow.
Yeah. But,
I mean, it's still like you get the point. Like, and then did you think that IG-11 was going to actually kill Baby Yoda?
Yes. I was like,
they did a really good job of that. That was a really good shot.
No,
is, it's Dave Filoni. And if you guys don't remember the debut of Dave Filoni, do y'all remember?
No.
Enlighten us.
Are you, like, showering?
No, I'm outside, and it's raining.
It's like, I hear, like, a faint, like, waterfall.
The The Clone Wars, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to rescue... What did they have to rescue? A baby freaking...
Yeah. Baby Hutt. Jabba? It was a baby Hutt. It wasn't Jabba.
Oh.
But it was a Hutt.
Yeah, Hutt. I'm sorry, I said a Fett, but a Hutt. Yeah.
Now that would just confuse Hutt. Everything.
Yeah, no. That would... Yeah.
They rescued Boba.
I was talking about, not that this has to do with anything, but I was talking about this to Steven. And I was like, yeah, you know.
Dave Filoni.
I was like, yeah, you know, the Mandalorian, they're like Boba Fett. And I was like, I just said Boba Fett. I was cracking up.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so you want to go to my notes?
Sure.
So I'm just going to go down the list. It's not that many, but it's enough. Okay, ready?
Yep.
How is Baby Yoda 50 years old, but still a baby? What do we know about his species? Why do they want
to... You're not going to let us answer him?
Wait, I'm going to just let you... One at a time.
Hold on.
I mean, I was just going to let you pick which ones you want to talk about.
No, just do it one at a time.
Baby 50 years old.
Yeah. So, IG-11 says it in the episode. He says species age differently.
Well, yeah, yes. I got that later, but I just wanted to talk about it if our listeners didn't know. Okay, so there you go for that one.
Yoda is what, at one point they say how old Yoda is, right? I mean, he's like...
In episode...
He's like 350 years old.
Well, in episode 5, he says...
like that.
In episode 5, he says, when 900 years old you reach, look as good, you will not.
Okay. So we already answered the one about what we know about his species, which we don't. But hopefully we'll find some more information out about that.
Oh, that's one thing that's interesting to me, is that that was like one of George Lucas's big things throughout making all of these films and people making films.
It was
in canon. Yes, yeah. It was nothing is to be like, there's no backstory to be made for Yoda.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's what's weird, because now you have a baby Yoda. So like, and it's Dave Filoni. No. He's not just going to be like, F you, George.
Yeah. So, like, how... Yoda, this baby is 50 years old, right? How long ago did Yoda die?
At this point? I'd probably say 10, maybe 10 years.
Okay, because I was thinking maybe a reincarnation.
Yeah.
And that maybe that species, they don't grow or populate like normal species. So maybe that they reincarnated.
There's a thing in, what is it, The Last Jedi, where Luke actually touches Yoda. And I have a problem with that. So that could explain why Luke is able to touch Yoda.
What?
Have you seen The Last Jedi?
Yeah, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Luke is able to touch Yoda. Yes. What? Is it The Last Jedi? It might be the next one. Either way, Luke is able to touch Yoda.
As a Force spirit.
Beyond, like, Force ghost and blah, blah, blah. Like, it bothers me to no end.
Why? He's because, one with the Force, and the Force is one with him.
Yeah, but they're ghosts. You can't really touch them.
But, I mean, come on, because Yoda just, like, strike down a tree with, like, lightning out of nowhere, so.
Whatever.
All right, let's save that one for the X-Wing Files.
Okay. Okay, so my next thing was, why do they want to experiment on baby Yoda? And that's just crazy.
Yeah, I think it's because of the Palpatine thing. I think that makes sense. Yeah, I think that Palpatine's, one of his directives was, you know, if he gets blowed up.
I don't think it's because of Palpatine. I think it's because of the Force.
Well, yeah, that's why. I'm thinking his directive was, you seek out the Force-sensitive people and study them, whatever, poke and prod them, and figure out how to bring me back.
Yeah.
Yes. He's one of the last Force-sensitive beings on, you know, on planets.
And unfortunately, so that doesn't bode well for baby Yoda.
Well, but at this time, is Rey not being born?
Yeah, but you don't know her connection to the Force. Sadie, she's licking her lips right next to the mic. Go away, dog. Could y'all hear that?
No.
Okay. Like, seriously, her snout was almost on the microphone.
Okay, but, like, there's obviously, there's never going to be no Force-sensitive children or, you know, like, people. Like, that'll always be a thing. And I feel like the Emperor knows that, so he can wait to however long he needs to until they figure it out. So, like, that totally makes sense. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's what I think. I hope it's not because of that, but I could totally see that.
So, this is after the fall of the Empire. Where are all of our main characters at this point in time?
Luke's training Jedi.
He would be like Ben Solo is a kid right now, right?
Yeah, probably 4 or 5 years old, probably.
Okay. So Rey is probably just being, like, maybe born.
Maybe. I think she might probably be is not even born yet.
Yeah. Probably the same for, like, Finn.
Yeah.
And then Poe is probably, like, you know, 4 or 5.
He might be, like, yeah, he might be, like, 10 years old or something. I always took Poe as being a little older than everybody.
Okay. And then, like, obviously, like, Luke is, and Leia and them are, well, I guess now.
So, who knows about Han and Leia, but Leia is definitely still part of the Rebel Alliance.
Yeah.
And Luke, too, but he's trying to, probably seeking out Jedi stuff, I would imagine.
Yeah. Maybe, I mean, has he always had the text, or no?
I don't think so.
So maybe, but
we don't know that.
Yeah, we just don't know that, I guess. But I was just kind of curious where, like, our main characters would be right now.
See, that's one thing I was hoping the Mandalorian doesn't do or won't do, is give us anything about those characters. I want it to be its own thing.
I don't know if they'll do that. I feel like they'll do, like, a background type thing. Like, where you see a ship in the background, or, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like something like that.
But there's no major plots or anything that adds or takes away from those characters.
I kind of don't think they'll do that, since they're running with the Baby Yoda thing. That's, like, close enough for me.
Yeah. But see, that took it, like, almost too close for me. But that's my personal opinion.
Oops, sorry. To me, I like it just because he's so stinking cute. But, like,
well, yeah, I, like, Like I said, they that. Should make baby Yoda Furbies.
Yeah. And sell them. I would freaking buy one of those.
I'd buy one yesterday.
But then, like, I agree with you. Like, if they go, like, you know, Aunt Beru, Luke, you know, like that. Don't do stuff like that. Like, don't have that crap in the background, or don't have one of our characters walk across the screen. Like, that's too much. But I kind of don't think that they're gonna do that.
No.
Maybe a ship or something.
Yeah. No, I don't think they'll approach.
Though, I do want to point out, why were the stormtroopers so freaking dirty and like run down looking?
Well, the guy mentions that it's been chaos pretty much since the fall of the Empire. So that's what I would imagine. It's just kind of like
scuffed up.
It's very ragtag, like. Very disoriented and a lot of disarray.
They're not like on their P's and Q's.
Pretty much.
Because usually, I mean, they're pretty spotless.
Yeah.
Minus a few blood print, handprints here and there. But that kind of bothered me. So I was kind of wondering what the Empire, that made me think actually, like what is the Empire going through right now? Like, chaos.
Yeah. Well, didn't you play Battlefront 2, the campaign?
Yeah.
Did you finish it?
Uh-huh.
I mean, that it portrays the Empire fairly well, I think. You know, there's different divisions and stuff, and there's different contingencies that every different person is doing, and I don't know. It's just a big jumbled. It's like when you cut the head off of a snake, like the rest of the body's just wiggling around.
Chaotic. I gotcha. Okay, so does it ever say what planet he's on when he finds baby?
I don't think it said any planets that he's been on.
Because that's what I was thinking. And then I was kind of wondering why the writer guy was so obsessed with getting them off his quote-unquote peaceful planet. Like, were they really that bad? I mean, it was a group of people trying to protect a baby.
Well, I think they were holding this baby for ransom. And people have been trying to get this baby. Because, yeah, that's... He mentioned that people keep coming and fighting these people.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I think it's kind of like that.
I just assumed it was like bounty hunters. I don't know.
Well, yeah, and that's another thing in episode 2. We find out there's several different bounties on this baby or this person. And it's not just from the Bounty Hunters Guild. It's from everyone wants this thing.
Yeah. And that brings me to my last question. Why was IG-11 sent to kill the baby from the same guild? Like, one was sent to save the baby, keep him alive, and the other was sent to terminate the kid.
Well, I don't think... Cause...
I think that's a thing. Like, who sent IG-11?
Yeah. So, if you remember... I really think
that's going to wind up being a thing throughout the season.
Well, if you remember, when he turns in all his bounties, and he's like, do you have anything that pays more or whatever? And he's like, well, I have one thing, but it's a less traditional method or whatever. And he doesn't even have a puck. So, the IG-11 unit may not even be... He's part of the bounty... Hunter's Guild, but he may not have been sent by the same people. Like, the Mandalorian got sent to the Imperial by the Imperials, or what we're assuming to be the Empire.
Yeah.
So IG-11 could have got his from a different faction that is wanting this thing. Either dead, you know, dead at the least. Alive, you know, whatever. Or obviously terminated. They wanted him terminated. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like an official Bounty Hunters Guild bounty. It's one that's kind of like off the books. Yeah. Because he's paid directly by the bookies. I don't know what they would be called.
Yeah.
Clients. The clients. So yeah, there's several different clients going for this bounty, which I don't even know if you really call it bounty, but huh?
Like, I mean, I get, like, because of the Force, it's Force sensitive. But how did they all find out that it's Force sensitive? And why did they all want it?
I imagine some people want it to keep it away from other people, you know, at the very least. They may not know anything about it, but they know this person wants it so badly. Yeah. That they're like, nope, you're my enemy, so we're not going to let you have it.
And this guy wants it, obviously, because of the, you know, Empire.
Yeah.
But
is that the first time we see
thinking of like the Marvel universe, like Infinity whatever they are, like stones, whatever the crap they are.
Yeah. Where Vision wants his destroyed better than Thanos having it. He's like, no, just destroy it, even if it destroys me.
Yeah.
Is that what you're kind of talking about?
Yeah, it's kind of like that deal.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
This is on a lighter note, but that scientist, is that the first time we've seen a Star Wars character wearing glasses?
No.
Like, legitimate, like, real-world glasses. Not goggles or anything like that. Not like Maz's glasses, but these are just, like, framed glasses.
Unless it was in the animated show.
Don't freaking notice the crazy things. I mean, because now that you say that, I can't place anybody ever wearing glasses.
His name is Dr. Pershing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to find a picture of him, but... But yeah, anyways.
Everybody else has had LASIK.
They invented that yet?
I don't know.
No, but he... Yeah, I'll send this to the group, but...
I mean, there's droids.
I don't know, this is kind of... I'm really excited to see where this show goes, and... It looks good.
Yeah. Alright, on to episode 2. What'd you think of the ending, where he kind of reaches out his hand, and then Baby Yoda reaches back? I thought that was pretty cool.
What? Did I miss that?
It's the ending of the episode. It's just like the camera's back from the side. The Mandalorian sticks his hand toward the crib, and then Baby Yoda reaches his little paw out. Oh, they don't touch, yeah. But it like ends the episode like that.
Yeah, that was cute. I was like, aw, he's a new daddy.
No, I was hoping that, like, that means more for the Force in the future, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Also, no, that makes sense. Also, how do they protect themselves when they're a baby for so long?
I would imagine that baby was taken away from its parents or something, you know? I mean,
because clearly he's smart. and he understands. Like,
he knows how to eat.
He definitely knows how to eat. He was like,
yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
That was cute. God.
I thought, anyways. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I have just so many questions about the baby. I'm just, like, obsessed a little bit with it now. Because, like, you don't know anything about Yoda except for a very select few things. And now we got this, and you're like, oh, my God. So, wait. Did he get taken? Where's his parents? Like, was he born or was he hatched? Like, was he, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. And if hatched, did they just, you know, steal the egg? Like, how long will he be a baby if he's already 50 years old? And, you know, like, I don't know. I just, my mind, like, goes and goes.
Yeah.
Well, see, I have more questions about the container he's in than I do about him. Because it seems like the Mandalorian can control, like, the container he's in.
Yeah, that is weird.
He put a thing on it.
Oh, he attached something to it?
Yeah, he, like, I thought he did.
And I kind of remember that.
It with his wrist.
At the same time, it seems like that the little Yoda guy can control it just as good as the Mandalorian.
Yeah. Somebody, like, through the Force.
Somebody's, like, running around screaming outside my apartment.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Oh, my God.
All right. You guys want to move on to episode Dose?
Yeah. No,
we're going to wind up on an episode of, like, something I watch on, like, Investigation. Whatever the hell it's called.
Investigation.
Alright.
Was anyone else a little pre-disappointed when they saw it was only 32 minutes long?
Yes.
Yeah. But at the same time, I talked to Logan about this, like, earlier today. Like, when your program tends to one run, like, an hour long, close to an hour long, people tend to lose, like, interest. Like,
yeah,
I don't have enough time to watch it.
So, and it's the second episode this week is what I was thinking, too. Like, within, what, 3 days of each other?
Yep, 3 days, yep.
When's the next one come out?
Next Friday.
Oh, dang, really?
Yeah.
That's a long
time. So you didn't have any notes on episode two?
I didn't have time to make notes, no.
Well, I definitely liked it better than the first one. Just for the simple fact that he disintegrated Jawas. God, I love that.
I like the Jawas. I love the Jawas.
I love him fighting the Jawas. It was just, it was awesome. Like, finally you see more to Jawas than just, like, junk traders or whatever.
And Tim.
Yeah.
And Tim. The whole time I was thinking about Tim, I was like, I wonder how Tim feels about this.
Yeah. Every time one blew up and, like, disintegrated, I was like, poor Tim.
And then that, like, they're all running around and that one just stops and starts shooting and he's in his scope. It's so messed up, but it was so funny because he had no idea where he was and he was just shooting. But I did love that they got the best of him or the better of him by the end of the crawling fortress is what he called it. Which is, well, I thought was awesome.
Yeah, what I didn't understand is that they decided to make a deal with him. Like, for real. This dude just disintegrated.
Your brothers and sisters and wives and whatever. I guess they're probably used to that, though, because they do steal stuff. But, yeah, when he got to the top, and
I had a real problem with that. Like, for real? Y'all are just going to make a deal with this dude?
Yeah.
Like, there's no way I would just, like, blow him away. Just...
Well, that egg must taste real good. Yeah, the casualness in which people die in Star Wars is kind of morbid a little bit, because it's just like, oh, okay, they died, move on. The only people we really... There's only like a few people we see sadness from death.
Yeah, that is a pretty much a common thread in Star Wars.
But yeah, the whole... I don't know, I just loved it, like... He took off running after the freaking Jawa crawler. He's climbing up the side. He gets to the top, and they're all sitting there and electrocute him. And he just falls off the back. Yeah.
I loved when they electrocuted him. I was like, yeah. Oh my god, that's hilarious.
This episode kind of, he just reminded me kind of like, that whole fight scene was kind of like if Clark Griswold was the Mandalorian.
It definitely was the funny of the last two episodes. It was pretty hilarious.
Yeah. It was definitely my favorite so far, even though there's only been two. But I guess the most important scene. See, I liked him fighting that rhino thing. Because it shows pretty much like he's not the greatest fighter just yet, maybe. But well, then it also
Superman that,
well, yeah.
That definitely shows that.
But if in obviously Jango wasn't a Mandalorian, but he has the same armor. In episode 2 Attack of the Clones, Jango takes out that one rhinoceros looking thing in the arena with one shot. You guys remember that? Like, it's charging at him and he dodges it and dives to the side and shoots him. That it kind of reminded me of that. I was expecting to see something like that. But then when Baby Yoda like stops him, I was just like, they are going in hard with this force thing.
I called that. That's what I was like. Oh, I called it because I was like, why is the baby with him? I was like, the only reason the baby's with him right now is because he's going to save him.
Yeah. Well, see, I was trying to rationalize that. But if you think about it, he's figuring out now that everyone is after this thing. So he better not leave it out of his sight, you know?
True.
Because when they're going through that canyon, the Transdoceans just drop out of nowhere and start attacking them, which I thought was awesome when he was fighting them.
Yeah.
Those things take out Wookiees. So.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And he, like, kicked their butt.
He disintegrated that one.
That sucks. That would be a way to die.
See, that's when he saw the other bounty tracker, and I think he realized this thing's important.
Yeah.
So.
And then he found out why.
Yeah. But even though he doesn't know what it happened.
Like, he knows it's...
And that's... When that happened, when he's talking to... I'm just going to call him Quill, because I'm not sure how he pronounces it. It might be Quinn, actually. Anyways, and he's saying, you know, what happened... And he says, I don't even know what happened. Like, he can't be Ezra. Ezra would know that was
yeah.
the Force. Unless he has, like, some kind of amnesia or something.
I mean, he could have amnesia from, like, floating in space.
Time travel.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, and you know, we skipped in episode 1 talking about his origins of being a foundling, is what they were called, I guess. People that are found by the Mandalorians and taken in by the Mandalorians. But we don't know too much about that yet, so. Yeah, I mean, episode two, it went by so fast. I watched it at break today, and when I was at work, and I was just like, I just wanted to keep watching it.
Yeah.
I've watched it about 3 or 4 times since then.
Yeah, it seems like it's only about, like, 20 minutes long.
Yes, it really does.
Yep.
But yeah, I really enjoyed the visuals in this one and just everything is so far is like flowing pretty smoothly. Even though we didn't have any new characters in this one, we didn't have like really any like furthering of the story other than Baby Yoda seems to like the Mandalorian and is willing to help him.
Yeah.
So, and it was interesting that that took all of his power to do that, and it kind of knocked him out a little bit.
Yeah.
But, and we found out that the Mandalorian is a good mechanic with the help of Quinn.
I was just about to say that, like, the freaking montage of, like, the building the ship, I was cracking up.
Yeah.
I was like, what the heck?
I think I'm going to watch it again after we get off of here.
I'm going to, too, though. Like, when I lay down. But,
yeah.
My battery's running low.
Well, do you have anything else to add, Ryan?
No. Y'all pretty much covered everything.
So, what do you think we're gonna get in next week's episode? Do you think I'm thinking we'll get a lot of more characters?
I feel like it's gonna. Sorry.
Added to the story.
I feel like he's gonna. I don't want him to turn the baby in.
No, I don't think that's gonna happen. I think maybe he'll try to. Or maybe try to get more information, but then realize, you know, just kind of like back off.
Yeah.
No, any more characters? Maybe one more next week. We might get another Mandalorian type character.
But yeah.
Yeah, no, other than that, no, I don't think we'll get anything.
I forgot to mention when he's breaking in the horse monster thing. Quinn, I hope I'm saying that right, says to him, "You're Mandalorian, right? Your ancestors rode the Mythosaur." So, the Mythosaur is, you know, the symbol on Boba Fett's armor? I think it's on one of his shoulder guards or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The little tattoo thing. That's a Mythosaur.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's on the very first episode.
Yeah, and it's in the Mando Guild. It's like a little crest on the Mando Guild.
That's what I was talking about, yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of cool. They also had a shot where he's on one of those monster things, and he has that rifle, and it looks similar to the that cartoon where Boba Fett makes his first appearance. You know, what was that on, Ryan? You know what I'm talking about, where he's on, like, that dinosaur?
Computers about
back in the 80s or whatever.
I know
the first Boba Fett appearance is in the holiday.
It's a holiday special. Holiday.
Oh yeah, because it's like I remember now. Why did I think it was droids for some reason. I don't know.
Well, then he continued into droids and then came back for episode 3. Is it episode 3?
Episode 4. Six. Or, yeah, 6.
Yeah.
Later added in 4 in 1997. Yeah. So, isn't it? It's kind of cool. Like, we get all of this useless knowledge and stuff that we have on the Mandalorians from that character. And he's not even Mandalorian.
What, the only Mandalorian crap we know is from, actually, canon is from
Clone Wars.
Yeah, Clone Wars.
Yep. Will?
Which will upset you when you read stuff like, George Lucas finally had his thing realized by episodic television of Star Wars. Like, no, well, we already had that. Y'all just don't recognize that. Yeah, it'll make you upset, really.
Yeah.
Because Clone Wars is great. I mean,
yeah, I started rewatching it. Hey, it's all on Disney Plus, so you have no Rebels is on there too. Everybody should go watch. If you haven't watched Rebels,
you're missing it.
See, Clone Wars you can kind of piece together. You kind of know what's going on. Rebels, you don't really know what's going on.
The pick you just sent, that's the same weapon he uses in the show. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I thought that was cool. Like, they did. And he kind of has that cape, too. Like, Boba Fett never really has a cape. But, yeah, I thought it looked pretty cool. I can't wait to. Like, it kind of sucks that it's going to end. But I can't wait to see where it goes.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll get more episodes next season.
Yeah, well, yeah. Season 2 is already being filmed. But I think it's almost guaranteed. It's got to go more than 2 seasons.
Yeah.
But then the Obi-Wan show is being filmed next year. And the Cassian series is being filmed also. So there's definitely a lot of Star Wars coming out.
Maybe a Cassian series? That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cassian is gonna be like beyond great.
Yeah, I think they all are. If any of them are as half as good as what we've got with Mandalorian, I think we're gonna be satisfied.
Me too.
So yeah,
so good.
Well, that's pretty much all I got to say.
Me too.
Yep.
So, yeah, you guys can catch us, I believe, at Instagram and Twitter and on Facebook. All just put in the X-Wing Files will come up. We have a Facebook page and a group. The group is just mostly Johnny posting memes, which are actually pretty funny. But there's been a little more activity on there lately. Due to the increase in Star Wars coming out. But, yeah, go follow us on all that stuff. If you guys want to be on the podcast and talk about The Mandalorian, just, like, message us or something on Facebook or Twitter. Probably Facebook is better. I don't get on the Twitter anymore, but, yeah, just let us know. And I guess we could plug Spencer's website. Does anyone know what that is?
I don't.
Nobody cares anyways.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. Is it super?
It's like super pop.
Superpopfuntime.com.
Why don't you guys figure it out and then let us know?
Yeah, you guys let us know what it is, and we will plug his website. Now, he's put two things up on The Mandalorian, I believe.
I think so. He's such an overachiever.
And Logan has posted something on there also. I haven't looked at that yet, but it's supermassivepop.com, which I thought it was about like a giant pop figure, but apparently it's just about pop culture. So yeah, if you're interested in that, check that out. I'm sure Spencer will be thrilled that we mentioned it, and his life will be complete now. So
you're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome, Spencer. I guess we'll probably try to record again next Saturday, maybe. I don't know. Next Friday or Saturday after episode 3 comes out. But that's all I got to say.
That's all I got, bro.
That's all Ryan's got. I guess this has been the Mando Files, and we have spoken.
Bye! So that all extra loud.
Yeah.